Welcome to the Good Health is Good Business Show, the show focused on a healthy workforce as a competitive advantage. And now, our hosts, Dr. David Rurick and Stephen Cherniak.
Well, Steve, I wonder if our listening audience is keeping themselves warm this week.
It is freezing, literally, in Atlanta.
This is supposed to be hot Atlanta.
I know. That's why I moved here. But Michigan just follows me wherever I go.
Yes.
I guess that's a good thing.
And we have a special guest today from Michigan.
Direct from Michigan. I can't wait.
That's right. He's probably used to this weather. Dr. D. Eddington, director of the University of Michigan's Health Management Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the agenda for today in a little bit. And, of course, we're going to do our health tip segment.
Special health tip segment following up on the theme that with Dr. Eddington being on our show and sharing some of his simple concepts that every workforce should be incorporating. And as always, we'll have our latest health news that have occurred over the last week.
And, you know, I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of news this week about health.
It's been kind of quiet.
It has.
I think it's been the cold temperatures.
I think people are staying inside trying to keep warm.
I know. Yeah. But first, let's talk about our sponsor,
okay.
Strategic Benefit Solutions. Did you know that SBS is the premier benefit advisory and consultancy firm here in the Southeast area of the country? It's SBS's mission to bring unexpected value to its clients, and they do that through the development and execution of strategic programs that enhance health, wellness, and productivity. We encourage our listeners to find out more information by going to their website, and it's simply www.sbs-benefits.com.
And that's benefits with an S.
And we thank them for supporting the show.
We do indeed. Well, let's get right into the news.
Yeah, with this cold weather, I have two winter-themed news articles.
All right. I'm shaking, chilling to hear what
you have
to say.
Well, we received 3 inches of snow here in the Atlanta area on Friday. And nobody has snow shovels.
No.
And with the hills that are here, particularly north of Atlanta, I could tell that there are neighbors who would not attempt to get their car out of their garage because there was a sheet of ice and snow on their driveway, and you just slide right down into the street with it. So I also want to remind folks about the possibility of snow shoveling injuries. And in this time, you need to make sure you're taking precautions and doing it correctly.
Well, Mr. Old Michigan guy who probably knows all about this, tell us about the snow shovel injury syndromes.
Well, I wanted to ask, when was the last time you shoveled?
Actually, it was yesterday.
Really?
Yes, I was up at the lake, and we had some snow, and I had to shovel.
But you had a snow shovel or just a garden shovel?
I have a snow shovel up there in North Georgia, as well as I have actually some sleds.
Okay, well, that's the first place to start. Mm-hmm. One is having proper equipment. You know, there are ergonomically designed snow shovels now, ones that don't really require any lifting of the snow because snow can be heavy and particularly puts tremendous strain on the back. So you want to get the kind that are ergonomically designed where you can push the snow out and just leave it off to the side and not have to lift it or throw it when you're done getting a shovel full. And then second is making sure that you're properly dressed and you're just taking it easy. Proper breathing, using the muscles of the legs and lower back, and taking breaks as much as possible to be able to accommodate, particularly for those areas of the country where people are out there doing it just one time a year. Like everything else, the heart is a muscle, and it responds that way. And if it's not warmed up or used regularly, it'll get strained, and that's one muscle that you really don't want to damage. So be cautious and heed when shoveling snow and injuries.
Push the snow.
Don't lift it. Just push it.
Following that theme of that was a shovelful,
yes.
Let me talk a little bit about a news article I thought was pretty interesting, particularly to myself, and that is the headlines, Over 70 and Overweight May Add Years to Your Life. How about that?
Being overweight over the age of 70 could add years.
That's right. A new study published January 28th in the Journal of American Geriatrics showed a study that was done in Australia, which, by the way, is the third most heaviest country in the world.
Hmm.
Who do you think number one is?
The U.S.
That's right. Hmm. Two?
I don't know.
Number to the United Kingdom.
Okay.
United Kingdom. But anyways, Australia is number three, and they did a 10-year study on individuals aged between 70 and 75. Study began in 1996, and they found out that those that were overweight, not obese, but just overweight,
okay.
That means, you know, BMI between 25 and 30,
right.
They had a 13% lower risk of death compared with those that were normal weight.
Hmm.
So, in the, you know, in a few years, I can be overweight and not worry about it.
That's right. Not few. You're talking, what, 30 years from now?
Our listening audience doesn't know the real
right.
truth.
Okay. We can say anything we want. Yeah. Right. It's our radio show.
That's right.
Well, the winter theme now accelerating. People are locked into February. In most areas of the country, it's another whole month of winter that's going to be coming up, and people are just darn tired of winter. So what are they thinking? They're thinking summer and getting ready, and some people want to go and get tan. And go to tanning beds.
Ooh.
I hate tanning beds.
No.
But the FDA is actually getting into the act and looking at setting rules and regulations regarding the use of tanning salons.
They're going to license them.
They should just close them.
Yeah, they should. But they're going to license them.
They're the new cigarette issue, right?
Because right.
they do nothing but cause cancer. Increase your risk of cancer.
Okay.
And the issue is particularly in teens. There's just one startling fact in here is that the risk of melanoma increases by 75% when the use of tanning beds begins before the age of 30. And it's now the second most common form of cancer among 15 to 29-year-olds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really on the rise. And in fact, if you've ever watched a patient die that had a melanoma, horrible death.
Yeah. So improve warning labels, and they should be on the doors of these
This
places.
Facility is harmful to your health.
Exactly. And the requirements of that, and obviously limiting it to adult-aged people to proceed at their own risk needs to be in place.
Well, I have one more.
Okay.
All right. So scientists have pinpointed the area of the brain that fears losing money.
So there's an area of the brain that triggers us to be cautious or warns us or makes us afraid of losing money.
That's right. Researchers feel that they have pinpointed the area of the brain that's responsible for the fear of losing money, a finding that really offers insight into human economic behavior. So these neuroscientists have concluded that the human aversion to losing money is tied up in the amygdala.
Okay.
Small little area that registers rapid emotional reactions and plays a role also in depression, anxiety, autism.
Mm-hmm.
So if your amygdala is damaged, then you probably have a gambling problem.
You think?
Yeah.
That's where it is.
You have no aversion to money loss. You're just, you know. So and now I understand my wife's behavior.
Her amygdala
right.
is damaged.
I don't know what the cure is, but I know the problem now.
Well, I have to say you're right. It is a slow news week.
Yes.
I think we ought to. I think that's the last word on that segment.
Hi, this is Joe Steinberg, president of Midland Health, and you're listening to Good Health is Good Business Show, the show focused on healthy workforce as a competitive advantage.
Well, that nice quiet little interlude brings us into the next segment of our show, which is really the highlight of
the best segment.
That's right. This is our guest interview, and our guest today is the director of the University of Michigan Health Management Research Center, Dr. D.W. Eddington. Dr. Eddington is a professor in the School of Kinesiology at U of M and a research scientist in the School of Public Health. Dee has been trained classically in mathematics, kinesiology, and biochemistry, and he's co-authored over 500 articles, presentations, and several books, including his most recent one, which we're going to talk a little bit about today, Zero Trends. Dee, are you on the line with us?
I'm here, Dr. Dave.
Good. It's
yep,
great to... How are you holding up with the Michigan weather out up there?
it's just normal. That's what we expect in February.
No.
Nothing. We don't expect anything 60, 70 degree weather. So
yeah, see, nothing.
We haven't had, actually, we've missed part of the snow this year. It's going south of us.
Yeah, yeah. Into Atlanta.
All the way to Atlanta.
All the way to Atlanta. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're way under normal. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dr. Dave mentioned your book, Zero Trends, and we had the pleasure of talking to you last August after its release. And I did want to, and so now it's been almost a year since the release, and in it, you outlined a strategy that would enable companies to maximize their optimal health to their total population. And I'm curious to find out what the response has been. Have you been satisfied with the response of the book?
Well, I actually didn't know what to expect, so I'm satisfied. We're into the third printing now. We've gone through a little over 10,000 copies. And you can only order the book through the University of Michigan, our website.
So well, that's good.
It's been pretty well. Every place I go, people say they understand it. The point is about we tailor that as an economic strategy, and it's something new for people.
Hey, D, I think that's great. You've sold more than my Good Health is Good Business book, so you're doing great.
Yeah, but your good health and good business is really the same kind of issue. You're talking about good health as good business, and that's what we're talking about as well.
As far as the people that buy it, do you track that in terms of the other health professionals that are purchasing it? Do you find actually the business associates getting the book?
Yeah, it's probably I don't have the exact percentages, but it's overwhelming as it's the companies that are buying the book.
That's great.
And it's in the financial area, human resource area. Some of those, I'm sure, are also in the professional wellness field. A lot of the insurance companies and a lot of the benefit companies are buying them and distributing them to their clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, we lift up pages out of your book, Zero Trends, all the time for our PowerPoint. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, good. Good. I think you're one of the benefit. You probably get a lot of questions on this field, whether you use our book or not. I suspect that's what I talk to benefit design people. They say this is what is driving the major interest. They can't always operate on it, but they're driving a lot of interest in this field.
Yeah, it's tough economic times out there. Tough to get new budget things approved like health enhancement programming. But,
yeah.
You know, if you were going to add an epilogue or another chapter to the book based on the events in the last year, what would it be? What are your takeaways in the last year?
Well, that's an interesting question, because that's what I'm going to do this summer is revise it. I think I'm not sure exactly what all I'm going to do in that. I'm sort of happy with what's there, but I also want to add how to keep it going over past the first year in organization. And then talk a lot about how small, medium-sized companies can adapt these things. So the things we're talking about can be done by large companies and medium and small, but they have to go to a different source sometimes. Instead of providing everything themselves, they need to be getting into more into community resources. So we'll be adding that into how to integrate into the community.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So has the overall climate in the national business community improved or become more receptive to doing it right?
Yeah. Well, definitely. It's not because we're doing anything right, but because they're so frustrated with what's out there. And so I think it's somewhat because we're doing things right, not we being the whole field, and what you people are doing there and others in other places is really making a difference. It's a refreshing attitude to some people rather than fighting and listening to, who's to blame. That's gone on for a long time, and that's finally settled somewhat, but it's still an issue that's an old issue. So people are looking for a new way, and we do is a refreshing new way. It's a positive way to think about health.
Right.
And how do you work on the demand side rather than just waiting and have new kind of things on the supply side?
You know, one of the frustrating things I think we've seen this year is the fact that health care reform in Washington has progressed or stalled or certainly not come to any type of conclusion. So many of our clients seem to be holding off on actions based on what happens, out of Washington. And we try to convince them that, hey, no matter what bill gets passed this year, next year, whatever, it's going to be a couple of years before really it filters down into the community and into your benefit design, et cetera. So you might as well just do what you know is the right thing now. But it's difficult to sell that.
No, I would agree with that, Dr. Day. But I think the bottom line is that people are still people, and regardless of what their benefit plan is, they're still going to be needed to be treated as people and help them grow to all they can be. So healthcare reform is one thing, whatever we think about it. But the thing about people is much more than just their healthcare insurance. It's all their absent days and feeling, how they're feeling, what their job satisfaction, a bunch of things that we can impact as well as just avoiding healthcare costs.
What?
But, I would say one thing about the companies. Sorry. That I think you're absolutely right that companies aren't adding new things. But one of the encouraging things I see is I don't see a lot of companies dropping this field, dropping healthcare, wellness or health promotion or whatever we call it. They may be cutting back and not adding new things, but I don't see anyone dropping it totally. So that's a very encouraging part as opposed to the 1980s, 1990s, and early 2000s. Every 10 years, it seems like, we go through this cycle, and nothing's happened like has happened in the past. But
yeah, that's a great point. I agree with that as well, Dee, and you actually the same thing happening here, say, with our clients as well. And I was hoping that healthcare reform would add a little further initiative and boost the need or at least the thought and the discussion on the process with it. But it looks like this year is just maybe kind of be more of the same or holding its own with it. That's why, one of the things is particularly in these next couple of months, there's lots of conferences coming up regarding the areas of wellness and healthcare. We had Michael O'Donnell on, the American Journal of Health Promotion. His conference is next month. The Health and Productivity Management is in a couple of months. And not to be outdone, your 29th annual conference is coming up next March 10th and 11th in Ann Arbor. And can you tell us a little bit about that, the theme of it, and what attendees can expect to learn?
Well, good. We're as you said, the 29th annual, and we're starting to get good at it from then on, anyway. I don't want to pressure them. Of course, one of the nice things about it, we got this dynamic duel from Atlanta coming up, and that's going to be interesting to hear what you two are doing in this arena. So that would be great.
We're keeping it a big secret.
Yeah.
It'll be
you are keeping it.
The Dr. Dave and Steve show, yes, absolutely.
Oh, sorry about that.
No.
Yeah. I'm just too excited. I can't keep secrets. I'm not good at that. So. Anyway, that's how I guess I blew it.
So who anyway, else is on the agenda?
Well, we have Mike Sertelli from the former CEO and chairman at Pitney Bowes, and he'll be speaking about what he went through as they designed their programs, and he's out of it now, but he's still staying very much involved. Cindy Bajorquist from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, she's spoken a couple of times, and she's going to speak more about evaluation and how they look at, first of all, positioning their wellness piece and how they're giving discounts to people if they get involved in wellness and they have to do certain things. So they're trying to say that it's not just the benefits people, just not what the two of you do, but also the company needs to do something as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get both together as a partner? And Adam Schiavelli from Florida Power & Light, he's been doing this for 15 years, I think, or more. And they're sort of an icon in this field in many of the things that he's doing. And he's adopted what our concept is in Zero Trends, and he's going to talk about some of the things that he does that parallels to what we say. Mm-hmm. And then Tonya Bahidel, she's from Lincoln Industries in Nebraska, mm-hmm. and they've been doing this for some time. They have pretty much an award-winning program. So, and they're all going to talk about different parts of it, and we're really interested in the contribution you're going to make. You can speak to higher than that sometimes, but mm-hmm. we're looking at for that in the first day. And the second day, we're going to do a workshop and walk people through on how to do Zero Trends. And we got some other people coming in to help us on this. So it's 8 hours of relatively intense training on what do you have to do what can you do on Monday in terms of senior leadership and operations leadership and developing self-leaders. How do you reward people, recognize people, and then how do you measure your success? So it's going to be an interesting 2 days.
Well, there shouldn't be any CFO out there or HR director that doesn't get excited about a zero trend healthcare benefit cost increase or lack of increase.
Yeah. Well, I would think that would be some of the best news they could take to the CEO.
Absolutely. Boy, that's job security.
That would be job security. You could take that and say, look, we're at 3% or 2% this year, and inflation is at 4%. So.
Well, that's one of the things I like about your conference from year to year. You develop some consistency, I believe, in the message by having some repeat speakers like Cindy to give an update and changes, as well as the time that you spend personally on the agenda as well. And these aren't the only speakers. You spend updating what has occurred and new learnings coming out of the Health Management Research Center in the area that's occurred over the last year. And to me, that's one of the biggest takeaways that I have when I attend your conference.
Yeah, I appreciate that. See, I'm going to take a little more active role as well this year. Pretty much what you said, but I'm going to try to summarize after the two of you get done, or Cindy gets finished, or Mike gets finished. We'll summarize what you said and how it rolls together and why we chose the agenda as we do and how each of you are contributing to mm-hmm. the total agenda.
And I'm intrigued about the second day because that's unique. Normally it's a one-day conference and you're putting in a little workshop, which I think if you've gotten obviously a number of readers out there of the book who read it and go, this makes sense, and now it just seems to be a logical follow-up to how can I put this into practice within the company. So that's great.
I've been a little surprised at the interest in that. So we're up in a pretty good number. A couple of years ago, we would have been happy with this as our main conference. So
right.
People interested in finding what others are doing and what might be suggested. We're going to do a lot of the best practices we know, as well as what the theory says. So more along best practices.
And again, that's key, because when you have speakers like Lincoln Industries and the Pitney Bowes up there, and so that the audience can actually see it can be done out there rather than just thinking it might be possible, that's key in helping driving the movement.
It sure is.
Population health management.
Yeah. That's real. You know, I have a good Lincoln case study we ought to kind of almost even reference, because we're going to be talking about how to do this in the small to medium size company, the lessons we've learned, the scars that we've endured,
mm-hmm.
how not to do it, and they're a good example of that.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, if you don't have scars, you haven't been doing it.
No, I guess that's true.
That's true.
Isn't it? That's life, isn't it? I tell my kids that.
It is, right.
How can listeners get more information about the conference, Dee?
Well, I'd recommend they go to our website, www.hmrc.umich.edu.
Okay.
And so that's really the hmrc.umich.edu.
Okay.
And just click on the icon there, and it'll give you the... we'll have the conference lodging, the registration, the speakers, everything you want to know.
Okay. Well, we don't want to let you go yet because, you know, we always ask our speakers the same question, and you answered this last time, and I'm going to tell you how you answered it. The question was, here was the question, is we always ask our guests, what have you found to be the most successful engagement strategy in getting members to participate in health and wellness?
Yeah. Okay?
And
okay.
You responded with this answer first. Uh-huh. You responded with having an engaged company first, senior leadership and operations leadership.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you would add to that response now?
Well, that was all, right where I was going to start. There's two levels of engagement. And because you identified the second level, but I think that first level is probably the most critical, that they have the leadership engaged in it and showing that they're going to do something for this. And then only then do they ask the people to do it. Then when you get down to the people and engagement, that's where most people probably typically go. I think that's critical, but I think the important thing there is that you build an area of culture, and you build the culture so that people are feel trusting in the organization, and they know nothing bad is going to happen to them if they show that they are a little overweight or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that building that trust and managing expectations, I think, is the biggest thing for engagement at the individual level.
Yeah, even outside of actual programming, I agree. I mean, that's where I lean toward yeah. this is the leadership and then the culture first with it. And then
if you do all that, I think that's right. If you do all that, the programming goes this simple.
Right.
Just following along.
Right, and people can, you know, it's amazing how much they can find on their own. Right. Knowing that this is recognized and the company's taking this seriously, you know what? I think I will. And they find yeah. it either through the company resources or on their own or through their own personal network within
sure.
their community,
that's
their
right.
church, their friends and such, finding ways to improve their health.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Okay.
Dee, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Dr. Dave. Okay, very good. Thank you.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
You will. I'll be looking forward to it.
Nicer weather, please.
No promises there.
Okay.
Thanks, Dee.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You know, Dee forgot or we failed to mention the theme of his conference, Fundamentals of Maintaining Healthy and High-Performing People as a Core Business Strategy.
Okay,
so that's the message for it. And I was thinking that our health tip segment can also follow up with people who have read Dee's book, who are now hopefully interested in Dee's book, Zero Trends. He lists 10 simple concepts or commandments that should be in place to try to achieve zero trends. And I thought we'd quickly go through them.
I think that's a great health tip for today. Number one.
Number one, companies have proven that the do nothing or wait for sickness strategy is unsustainable.
Absolutely. Be happy with your double-digit increases, people, if you do nothing.
Yep.
Period. Number two, companies need to change their definition of health from the absence of disease to high-level vitality. And approach health as a combination of sickness and wellness strategies.
It's the whole wellness continuum, particularly the thought that leads right into number three, and that is that for the business case of health management, the critical strategy is to help the healthy people stay healthy. You can't ignore them. Companies always think, well, where are our high claims people, the sickest people, but in most cases it's too late to assist them. You'd want to keep your healthy people from ending up sick people.
Yeah, that's right. We're on our way right after the show to a large client who I know is going to be focused in on the discussion of their catastrophic cases. And you know what? That's a sunk cost.
It is.
They're going to happen. Let's just keep the healthy people healthy.
Mm-hmm. Number four.
The first step is don't get worse. Create winners one step at a time.
Creating that environment, as Dee has mentioned, of winners or assisting people with behavior change one step at a time, which goes right into number five. Effective healthcare strategies must target the total population of an organization in order to capture the total value of health.
This means, people out there in the listening audience, if you want to really make a difference, you have to engage that spouse and dependent population, since it represents 40 to 60% of your population and anywhere from 40 to 60% of your total cost.
And you can't be satisfied with 50% participation or engagement, 60%, 70%. You need to get over the 70% level and into the 80% level in order to make an impact.
Get it home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number six, the challenge for an organization is to create the vision, create the culture, market, execute, measure, and make it sustainable.
There you go. Vision number one.
Yep.
Culture number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't help but think that a lot of this is just like parenting. You know, I'm an old family doc, right?
Right.
See the whole family, even the extended family, grandparents. And yes, time and time again, if the marriage is stable and the leadership, i.e. leadership is there, the mm-hmm. kids come along just fine.
Mm-hmm. It's the principle on a little microcosm.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been the same, Dr. Dave, the same theme for our shows, because we've had guests that talk about community and this networking, and the community starts with the family.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then there's a community within the workplace and our own local communities.
My God, this is a philosophical
it
show
is.
Today. Go ahead.
We're at number seven.
Number seven.
Companies need to engage partners, not vendors. This, I think, is the toughest one. I really do. And this includes, in Dee's eyes, the health plans, the benefit consultants, primary care physicians, pharmaceutical and health enhancement companies, and eventually health systems and communities.
Yes, so many of our clients want to hire a vendor to implement their culture-changing health and wellness strategy. You know what? No external vendor is ever going to change the internal culture. You got to do it yourself.
But it's also getting the vendor to recognize the clients as a partner, okay, instead of as a revenue source.
Right.
It's there, of course, you know, but you have to be able to understand the relationship in your client to be able to realistically work with what's best for them.
Number eight.
An effective overall strategy starts with a clear vision from the leadership that's consistent with corporate objectives, followed by engagement of all internal partners.
Enough said.
Yeah, starts at the top.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Number nine.
Companies need to get full engagement of the leadership and the total workforce in order to bend the trend lines and get to zero trend. Basically, your 70-plus, 80-plus engagement rate. Otherwise, don't do this. Don't waste the money.
Yep. And it's not going to show any, you're not going to show any return on it, nor an understanding of it, maintaining the health of your population, let upon improving it. And finally, we get to number 10. Clear vision from the leadership translates to adopting the five fundamental pillars of health management to build a corporate culture of health and to grow into a healthy and productive workplace and workforce. Five fundamentals, that's a whole nother show. Very vividly and clearly outlined in Dee's book of Zero Trends, and we encourage our audience to check it out.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, that kind of wraps up the show for today.
It is. We want to thank our sponsor, Strategic Benefit Solutions.
Find them at www. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to put the W's there. Dot S, as in Sam, B as in boy, S as in Sam, hyphen benefits with an S.com.
We want to thank our guest, Dr. Dee Eddington.
Always glad to see the wisdom that he brings to the table.
Yep, and we encourage our listeners as well as to check out. You know, even if you can't get to his conference, he lists all the presenter slides on his website. No
great
charge.
Resource.
It is, and it's such a great practice that he does. And so we encourage our listeners to follow up after his March conference to get the latest and greatest information in this area. And for more information, his website is www.HMRC, is in Health Management Research Center, .UMich, UMICH, as in the University of Michigan, .edu.
Right. So next guest. Tell us who the next guest is.
Is Katie Bell. Katie Bell is with the Gallup Organization, and the reason why she'll be enlightening us with her work is their tie-in with HealthWays. If you remember, we had John Harris.
That's right.
From HealthWays.
They have the Well-Being Index.
The National Well-Being Index that they track monthly.
And how many phone calls a day do they make? 4,000?
They have to connect with 1,000 callers.
That's right.
Every night.
Oh, and they have to make 20,000 calls a day to get 1,000
responses for it. To do and monitor their well-being index. So we'll be talking with Katie about the recent information on that. Look forward to that.
And if any of our listeners are interested in additional information on anything that we talked about today on our show or on past shows, you can reach us at Dr. Dave at healthybusinessradio.com.
Or Steve at healthybusinessradio.com. Or even future shows. If there's information you would like us to address or guests that you would like to hear, let us know.
Write us. We'd like to know what your ideas are.
Yep. So until next time, we're keeping you on target. We're online and on demand at www.healthybusinessradio.com. Until next week.
Good health is good business.